CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes political economics. And what we're now about to address is more than political economics and something less than comedy. It is the investigation, not only by a member of the government, the permanent government, that is to say, the bureaucracy, into the conduct of the prime minister, but also now the investigation by the Met, the police, led by the leader of the Met, into the prime minister's conduct. It turns on what was called Partygate, but is now corrected as Birthday Party Gate. Joe, can you bring us up to date on the scale of this?
So we've previously discussed the broad contours of Partygate, which was the suggestion that during various lockdowns in the UK over the past 2 years, when a lot of forms of socializing indoors and out were banned for ordinary citizens, there's been the suggestion that staff members at Number 10, which is the Prime Minister's official residence and office complex, were partying it up all the time. And then there's also been a suggestion that Boris Johnson has attended several of these parties over that span, even though he has offered various explanations for why he didn't realize that it was a party that he was attending. That sort of was the backdrop, and he was already in a lot of difficulty over that, and there was an investigation going on by a leading civil servant named Sue Gray, who everyone was waiting to read her report, when yesterday news of another party emerged. It appears that Boris Johnson might have enjoyed a birthday party of some description within his offices in Number 10 Downing Street while the rest of the country was in lockdown. And in fact, there might even have been a cake and singing of happy birthday at a time when singing indoors was against the rules. And this is one of the revelations that I think has sort of spurred the police to start investigating all of the scandal, because certainly if there were parties going on, it would have broken regulations that were in law and were enforceable by the police. And we're also waiting still for the Sue Gray report from the civil service to come out, at which point members of Boris Johnson's Conservative Party in the Parliament are going to have to make some decisions about how much more of this they are willing to put up with. But I think that this birthday party revelation is just so damaging, because it suggests that there might be even more, that we didn't have a fully clean slate when we had the first round of these revelations a few weeks ago. And then it also would be really difficult for him to argue that he did not realize that it was a party if there was cake and singing going on. So I think that this scandal continues rolling along here.
Joe, you and I have spoken of these matters over many weeks as it's grown in larger and larger detail of the conduct of the prime minister and his government during the lockdown. You also wrote a discerning column suggesting that the scandal itself was a measure of the lifting of the fear of the pandemic. This is a transition moment. Since then, we have these revelations, or the potential revelations, about more misconduct by the prime minister personally, a birthday party involving cake and singing, as you say. Has the public decided to judge Boris Johnson more harshly than it did when they made him the prime minister? Because, Joe, you and I have discussed, everyone's discussed. I've discussed this with Lord Black, who employed Boris Johnson once when he was an excellent journalist. I've talked to other colleagues who worked with him at the Times and other publications. He is famous, if that's the right word, for fairy tales, for making things up, for deceiving. He's famous for it. Is there a new surprise here, Joe? And in addition, one of the ways he's always survived in his career is to at some point concede that he misled people, and he apologizes. Is that in the cards here for the prime minister?
Well, there are two dimensions to that. I mean, the first is Boris himself, and you're absolutely right that throughout his long career, he has shown a capacity for getting himself into scrapes to do with sailing close against the wind, and then somehow getting himself out of those scrapes again. So there is a school of thought that he's going to be able to replicate that Boris magic and somehow brazen out the scandal. But I think that there are a couple of key differences. I mean, one is the issue that he's the top guy now. So you think rather differently when you have a story like this about someone who's in a much more junior position than you do when it is the person who is the political leader of the country. So you have that dimension. And then you also have the special backdrop of the pandemic itself. And I think that one of the things that is causing the scandal to resonate so much with the public and really does seem to be damaging his opinion poll ratings to a substantial degree is the fact that this all happened against a backdrop when ordinary people were expected to make enormous sacrifices themselves. When you had children and others who were not able to have their own birthday parties while these rules were going on, you had people who were not able to visit sick relatives in the hospital. You had all of the disruption to the economy from businesses that were forced to close. And I think that when people have suffered like that, and then they discover that the leader was not making the same sacrifices, that creates a lot of problems. And I mean, certainly other politicians and figures have managed to survive this sort of thing. Gavin Newsom in California is one example. But I think that here it comes against this backdrop of plenty of frustration with Boris for other reasons, coupled with the magnitude of the party scandal, just the sheer number of these parties that seem to have gone on, coupled with the public frustration that has bubbled over with the lockdown policy itself. I think that it's a very febrile environment right now.
There was notable discord in the parliamentary comments that I witnessed. This wasn't Prime Minister's questions. That's on Wednesday. This was a presentation by Boris Johnson about Ukraine, matched by a presentation by Keir Starmer, the leader of the Labour, the opposition, about Ukraine. But mixed in would be questions raised by Labour members about Partygate. So you'd go from, you know, the threat of world war over to the idea, are we going to see the report by Sue Gray about your misconduct? And then we'd have remarks again by Ukraine, kind of like competing worlds that didn't belong in the same room, especially the room of Parliament, the House. Joe, is Ukraine trumping this in some fashion, overriding it in people's imaginations? You know, we need a prime minister in a crisis as opposed to we need to get rid of him. We have about a minute.
Well, I'm not sure you can separate the two because Partygate gets to the issue of trust. I mean, certainly some members of Boris's Conservative Party want to argue that Partygate is a distraction for more important issues like Ukraine. But remember that a lot of the things that Britain could do to respond to a Russian invasion of Ukraine would involve sacrifice on the part of the British public. I mean, economic sanctions,
yes.
That might be costly and the like. And you have to trust the leader who asks you to make that sacrifice.
Joseph Sternberg, a member of the editorial board of The Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics, and we're going to turn to political economics because Ukraine is a crisis. Certainly, the removal of a prime minister is a major story, but the global story now is inflation and the IMF downgrading prospects. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.